Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. Well, let's listen in as Rick shares the final part of a message called Developing Trust.
Now look at this verse. We know how much God loves us, so we have put our trust in Him, because God's perfect love drives out fear. See that? Notice he says perfect love. Love drives out fear. Well, that's good, because you know what keeps you from trusting God? Fear. You're afraid to trust God completely. In fact, I've talked to thousands of people about this, and I can narrow it down to about three things. The three greatest fears people have: if I really give my life to God, number one, I'll lose my freedom. Number two, I'll lose my fun. Number three, He'll make me some kind of religious fanatic, some nutcase, somebody with bizarro behavior. Now, if you know what God is really like, and you know He tells the truth, and you know He loves you, do you think a God like that is going to turn you into a nutcase? No. No. The more you know about God, the more you trust Him. The less you know, the more you're afraid of Him. There's a third reason why you can trust God completely, and that's because He's in control. Obviously, He's in control. He's God. He created the whole universe. He could snap it out of existence if He wanted to. And God is working His purpose and plan in history, and He is moving history to a historical climax, a destiny. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back to earth. Nothing is going to stop that. And He will work in your life for a purpose if you will allow Him to. Let's read this Bible verse together out of the book of Romans 8. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't say everything is good or that God causes everything. God does not cause evil. God doesn't cause war. He doesn't cause cancer. He doesn't cause rape or abortion or incest or molestations. He doesn't cause evil to happen. No, we do that. Why? Because God's given us a freedom to choose, and sometimes we make dumb choices and innocent people get hurt. That's the price of freedom, is we have the freedom to choose wrong things, and people choose evil all the time. But the Bible says God causes everything to work together for good. He can even take the dumb decisions, the evil, the bad things I've done in my life and use them for good if I will trust Him with it. This is not a promise for everybody. All things don't work together for good for everybody. It says, for those who love God, He causes all things to work together for good. Those who trust Him say, here, you take all the parts, you take all the pieces, and I'll help you. Honestly, folks, when I read the newspaper and I read the headlines every day, I don't worry. I don't worry. Why? Because God's in control. Now, if I didn't know that fact, I would be very frightened, because it's really obvious that our society is going to hell in a handbag on a slippery slope. And the decaying of society is taking place, and things that used to shock us, crimes like little kids beating babies and killing them, drive-by shootings, it's everyday occurrence now. And things that used to shock us, we don't even blush over anymore. America has lost its ability to blush because society is declining in its moral decay. But God is still in control. And He will one day work everything out for His purpose in His plan. There's a fourth reason. By the way, let me just say about that. On the thing about society, the reason why that's happening is because God's given us free choice, but your choice is not unlimited. One of the greatest gifts God gave you is the freedom to choose. And you have the freedom to choose right or the freedom to choose wrong. You have the freedom to be selfish or unselfish. You have the freedom to believe in God Or you have the freedom to say, Jesus Christ, I don't believe you. I think you're a liar. I'm going to thumb my nose to you, and I'm going to do my own thing, and I don't need God in my life. I'm an agnostic. I'm an atheist. You can believe whatever you want, and that's your choice. God's given you that freedom. And you are free to make choices in your life, but you are not totally free. God is in control because you are not free of the consequences of your choices. Once you make a choice, you're no longer free. God causes the consequences to happen. There are certain laws in this universe. And if I say, you know, I want to get drunk every night, I'm going to have a hangover every morning, whether I want it or not. And if I want to say, I want to snort cocaine while I'm pregnant, that's my choice. But the consequences of what it may do to my baby are not my choice. And I cannot control those. And in every time God says, here's a line, don't step over it. I step over it. I'm free to step over it, but I'm not free from the consequences of stepping across that line. So God really is in control. Number four, because God will help me. I can trust God completely because God will help me. Now, there's so many promises of this that God says, I'll help you so many times. But I've chosen one here out of the book of Proverbs chapter 3. And this is our memory verse for this week. Let's read it aloud together. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and He will give you success. What a great promise. He says, you know what? I know what's best for your life, and if you trust me, I'll give you success. You'll have a successful life. Now, I want you to underline the phrase, don't depend on your own understanding. Because a lot of times it takes courage to do what God wants you to do because it doesn't seem right from your viewpoint. But from God's viewpoint, it is right. For instance, if I don't know what God's like and I say I'm not going to do it, then I do what I want to. I lean on my own understanding and then I reap the consequences. If I do what God wants me to do, I reap the consequences of that. Now, let's wrap this up with this. How do you know if you're really trusting God? How do you really know that? I'll tell you how you know. You know by observing how quickly you obey when He tells you to do something. Is it immediate? Is it delayed? Do you procrastinate? Do you put up an argument for it? What do you do? For instance, I'm a little boy and I'm standing in the middle of the street and my dad is standing over the sidelines. And a semi-truck is coming down the road, and I'm going to get smashed. Now, my dad says, Rick, get out of the middle of the road. Now, I go, who is he to tell me what I should do? I know what's best for me because I don't see the truck coming. Now, how quickly I obey my dad, I follow his instructions, are dependent upon how much I trust him. And if I know that my dad tells me the truth, and I know that my dad loves me and wants what's best for me, then I'm going to move quickly because I may not see the problem, but it's coming. And so you can tell how much you trust God by how quickly you do what God tells you to do. I saw a beautiful example of that this Wednesday night. You know, Wednesday night, Tom and I were doing the parallel series to this on Wednesday night. We were doing what God says about sex this week. What is God's plan and design for sexuality? And how is it to be used? And how do we use this gift? And one of the things that we dealt with was the reasons why God says sex is reserved only for marriage. And they're very clear in the Bible. What are the reasons He says don't have sex outside of marriage? When it was over, the service was over, I was standing on the patio greeting people, and a couple came up and said, you know, Rick, we've heard the truth now. And we want to do what's right. And I was so impressed by their desire to instantly do the right thing. They said, you know what? We've been living together. And we need to get married. And we don't want to wait because we want to honor God. And so I talked to them, interviewed them a little bit. And they said, we want to obey God now. I said, okay, fine. Took them out on the patio and did a wedding. Yeah. 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 It was very cool because, you know, we went out there. There's still about 50 people hanging around. I said, everybody gather around. Much out got his guitar and sang a love song, you know. It was very cool. I did a wedding ceremony, and Shonda went down to the children's thing and got a camera and came out, and we took a picture, and we did it right outside. It was very cool. And the thing that was so neat is that they were saying, when we hear God telling us what to do, we trust him. So we're not going to delay on this. We're not going to think about it. We'll do it now. That is an evidence of trust. There's a verse in the Bible, Hosea 8:4, it says this. They have built idols unto their own destruction. And that, my friends, is an accurate picture of American society today. We are destroying ourselves through the idols that we've created because we have systematically over the last 40 years reduced and replaced God in the center of our society. And the evidence is everywhere. Problems, crime, and massive amounts of stressed out people. Michael Jackson, the talk show host, interviewed Larry King and his daughter, Kia. And he asked Kia, Jackson asked Kia, what's the best and worst thing about your dad, Larry King? And Kia said, the best thing about my dad is that he hasn't forgotten his roots. Said he's still the same guy he is today that he was before he became very, very famous. He's got his feet on the ground. So what's the worst thing about your dad? And she said, quote, it's that he doesn't have a sense of peace about his life. Quote, I wish he could find a center of peace for himself. So Michael Jackson asked Larry King, is that true? And Larry King responded that his daughter was right. And he said, quote, I don't have a center of peace. In fact, I'm looking for that peace even more seriously as I get older. I've interviewed all the world's religious leaders many times, and I know there must be something out there. But, get this, I've never taken that step of faith. Now listen, some of you are like Larry King this morning. You've never taken that step of faith. You've never stepped across the line. You may be stressed out. You may be looking for that center of peace. There is a God-shaped vacuum in you that you've tried to fill with power or friends or popularity or money or a drug or a family. And nothing fills that emptiness because it was made to be filled with God. And maybe you've been burned in the past with some phony image of God. Maybe you were raised up in a religious system that taught you a warped view of God and you really don't want to love and trust him. In fact, you're just afraid of him. Or maybe you were raised up with some of the crazy ideas around today that God doesn't care what you do. Just do whatever you want to and everything's going to be great. Or that anything is God and everything is God. And you're saying, I've been burned by these things. Well, Jesus Christ has something to say to you this morning, and that's why you're here. You're not here by accident. No, sir. Jesus wants to say to you, what's the last verse on your outline? And he says this. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Trust me. Don't be afraid. Trust me. Now let me close with this. Every one of you who've been parents are going to remember this in your mind. Do you remember the time when your children were small and you were in a swimming pool and they couldn't swim yet, but they stood there at the edge and you were in the pool and you'd say, come on, jump to me. I'll catch you. And they didn't know how to swim and they were a little frightened about it. And you'd say, no, it's okay. Just trust me. I'll catch you. And the little child's going, you know, it's like he's, you know, revving up his engine, you know, okay, oh, okay. It's like, you know, and they want to, but you know, it's just, it's that step of faith. And at some point, and I'll never forget this as a father, at that point, when they do jump off into your arms and you just surround them with your arms of love. Can you remember first the joy that they felt when they'd taken that step of faith? They're going, yeah, this is great. Let's do it again. And then you got to do it 50 more times. Okay? Okay, get up again. Okay, you know? What a rush. What a rush to trust and not be disappointed. But I also remember in those times with my three kids, what I felt when they would jump and they go, and I'd grab them and they go, my kids trust me. They trust me. And don't you know that's how God feels? When you step across the line and go, okay, God, who have I been kidding? I've been trying to run this thing on my own. And you step across the line and you jump into the arms of God and he grabs you in love. And God says, finally, my child trusts me. The one I created. That I made. That I've loved before they even existed. And finally, they trust me. Now, what I'm talking about today is not just for those of you who are seekers, but for those of you who've been Christians 20, 30, 40 years, and you've never really given everything in your life to God, and you've held back your finances, or you've held back your career, or some other area, your sexuality. Say, I know better than God in this area. I can't afford to do what God says. And when on the day you jump into his arms and say, 100% God, I'm gonna do whatever you say, because you tell me the truth and you love me. And I don't care if it's popular. I don't care if it's hard. I don't care if I don't understand it. I don't care if it's difficult or problems with it. I am going to do what you say in my finances, in my relationships, in my time, with my life, with my dreams. And God, I give it all to you. I give you all of the things I'm ashamed of in my past, and I give you all my hopes and aspirations for the future, and I'm jumping into your arms. It will be a rush that you've never known. Let's bow our heads. Take that step of faith today. What are you waiting on? Start trusting God. Why don't you pray this prayer in your mind? Dear God, I want to get you to know you better so I can trust you more. I don't want to accept all the phony ideas and images about you that are floating around today. And I want to base my life on the truth about you, not just what people imagine. Would you please forgive me for the times that I've thought that I knew better? When I decided what was best for me and not what you wanted and what you knew was best. I realize that that is foolish and arrogant. And forgive me for looking to other things and to other people for my self-worth and significance and confidence and purpose. Help me to do what you say, even when I don't understand it. I want to trust you, and I want to trust the truth of your word to be my standard for making decisions from this day forward. And if you say it, I'm going to do it.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. We'll send you free tools to help start your relationship with Jesus. All right, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I feel like Rick is talking to me at the exact moment about the exact thing that I need help with. And now here's Rick to tell you about a resource that he created to help you in your walk with Jesus.
Did you know that everything you do and every decision you make is based on your values? Today, so many people are confused about what they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives because they're looking in the wrong places and they're living by values that are at odds with God's values. In fact, I believe living with values is the number one conflict and cause of stress in our lives today. So what's God's solution? Well, he wants us to live by his eternal values, the values that he teaches in the Bible. Now, I have prepared a new resource that I want to tell you about today to help you develop and apply God's values in your life. It's a resource I'm calling Building Your Life on Values That Last. It's a self-guided study that I believe will help you grow spiritually. It'll help you understand what matters most in your life, and it'll help you to follow God's eternal plan for your life. Building Your Life on Values That Last is going to help you in ways you've never imagined. It'll help you learn what God has to say about trust, self-control, balance, responsibility, respect, forgiveness. It will help you understand what the Bible says about moral purity and fairness and honesty and love. And I will show you some practical ways to make the changes you need to make to get back on track so that you're living by God's values, not by the world's pressures. Now, here's the best news. You don't have to do this in your own strength. God is going to give you the power and the ability to make the changes he wants you to make. You're really going to want to get this tool. It's got a beautiful leather-like cover. It's filled with beautiful artwork and application exercises and a lot of space for you to write down your thoughts, your responses, your ideas to what God is teaching you. This is something you're going to keep for a long, long time. It's a comprehensive study tool that I believe is going to help you go deeper as you follow Jesus. And I'm proud to carry one of these myself. I hope you'll get one today.
Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.